Today I'm joined by Baron Baker of Dorking, who has been a member of the House of Lords since he was made a life peer in 1997. Previous to this, he spent almost 30 years as a Conservative MP, during which time he occupied several important ministerial positions, including Home Secretary and the Secretary of State for Education, as well as serving as the Chairman of the Conservative Party. As Education Secretary, he was responsible for the introduction of the national curriculum, in-service training for teachers known as Baker Days, increased budgetary control for head teachers, and other reforms that continue to shape our education system today. He also became the first ever Minister for Information Technology. Thankfully, he foresaw the importance of technology to our economy and pushed for computers to be introduced into schools. His personal interests include political cartooning. He's a vice chairman of a cartoon museum and published books on George IV and George III, charting their lives in caricature. Welcome to the University of Warwick, Baron Baker, and congratulations on receiving your honorary degree. Tell me first of all, what does receiving this award mean to you?
Well, I'm very honoured by it because the University of Warwick is Britain's leading technological university. It has world-class engineering and science and maths and physics, all those subjects that are absolutely critical to the future prosperity of our country. And it's a remarkably successful university. This afternoon, 300 postgraduates, and I gather this has been going on every day this week, got degrees, and 5,000 or 6,000 students get degrees each year from Warwick. It's a quite remarkable achievement. And so it's a very special university. And this university hasn't honoured me for the books I've written on history or my poetry anthologies or things of that sort. They've honoured me for the work I've done for technological education. And as you said, back in 1980-81, as the Minister of Information Technology, I introduced computers to schools. Those were in the days when schools did not even have one computer. And we persuaded them to get at least one. It was the beginning, of course, of a very big trend.
Yet you are well known for the successful reforms you introduced into the education system. Many of your fellow graduates today won't know what education was like in the UK before the national curriculum, for example. What problems did you identify when you first took the post of Education Secretary?
One of the real problems was that the curricula across the schools was a complete mess. There wasn't a national curriculum, and that meant that in good schools you had good curriculum. In medium schools you had medium curriculum, and in poor schools you had poor curriculum. There was a huge variety. And I felt, and many others felt, it was necessary to establish a framework right across the country so that the same subjects were going to be taught and learnt about in Newcastle as in Southampton or Plymouth or London or Wales. And that is, I think, very important. And for the first time we had a national curriculum, with basic subjects and foundation subjects and supplementary subjects. And also we introduced tests, because if you have a national curriculum, you must test to see whether the youngsters are getting on with it. The tests are not to fail people, they're to identify where help is needed, because a student isn't understanding something. And but prior to that, not only did you have any patchy curricula, you only had one basic exam. After the 11 plus, you had another exam at 16, that was it. Every other education system in the world tests its students annually. Some do it every term. Some do it every week. But I was attacked for bringing in tests, but I'm sure tests are necessary. And I also introduced league tables as well. They didn't have anything of that. The point I wanted to do was to make the parents aware of the performance of the school so they could make their own choice. And I also wanted to see greater variety of choice for parents, and that's why I introduced grant-maintained schools, which were freer from local authorities, and city technology colleges were totally free, which were the predecessors of the academies, which Tony Blair came to believe he invented, but they were invented by us in the 1980s. But they were the schools independent of local authorities, and they're some of the most successful schools in the country.
As I mentioned, you were the first Minister for Information Technology. Were you excited by the promise of technological developments at that time?
Well, it was so exciting. It was the days when fibre optic had just been discovered. It was the very early days of mobile telephones. I remember somebody coming to me and saying, there's this thing they've made called cell networks. They seem to have mobile telephones, and what can we do? And we discovered that we had 32 megahertz of space above us, which were freed from defence requirements. And I said, well, look, let's use this for the cellular networks. And BT came along and said, because it wasn't denationalised at that stage, could we have it all? I said, no, we must split it between two groups, BT and somebody else. And the somebody else became Vodafone. And as a result of that competition, we became, in the 1980s and 90s, the world leaders in mobile telephones.
You said in a speech in 1980, the most successful countries in the future will be those with strong and inventive electronics industries, with close links with capital and consumer group industries. Do you think the UK have made the most of that opportunity?
Yes and no. We were certainly the leaders in mobile telephony. Others have now caught up. Electronically today, we, I think, are above the average, but our broadband isn't fast enough and extensive enough, and it ought to be. That is something that we should move on in the course of the next 5 or 10 years. But one of the problems is, of course, we don't have enough technicians to extend out over the country. We're now short of technicians in Britain, and that's why I'm sponsoring new schools.
Yes, you do continue to be interested by the intersection of education and technology, thinking innovatively about how the system can be improved. Is the schools that you mentioned, the university technology colleges, that you're working with the University of Warwick to develop, it's a new type of a technology-based school which prioritises vocational skills. How specialised do you think these schools need to be?
3 years ago, Ron Deering, who alas is now dead but well-known in the education world, and I decided that the one thing missing from the English education system were technical schools. We used to have them back in the 50s. After the war, we had selective grammar schools, selective technical schools and secondary moderns. And the selective technical schools were the first to go, it's a great mistake. Germany had the same system, they still got them. And their selective technical schools, Realschule, are now their most popular schools. And it's one of the reasons why Germany is such a major industrial nation. It's one of the reasons why they're coming out of this recession faster than any other country in the world. It's one of the reasons why they have such huge exports of technical, inventive engineering products. So all that is given. So what could we do? And Ron and I decided we should persuade the government, particularly Lord Adonis, to recreate some of these. And these schools will be 600 to 800 pupils. They'll be 14 to 18, not 11 to 18, because by 14 the students broadly can select themselves, and those who want to follow a skills-based education should follow a skills-based education. And the specialisms they will do in these schools will be two specialisms, engineering and something else, maybe building trades, maybe electronics, maybe business diplomas, IT, all that sort of range of activities, essentially going for technician skills, alongside English, math, science and IT. And the fact that you bring those subjects under one roof, everybody believes, and I think they're right, that the standards of English and math will improve dramatically, because the students realise you'll have to do well at English and maths to do well at engineering or in building trades or in IT. They're
and you'll have
together.
A more engaged student body.
Well, one of the problems, and this is why David Cameron likes these schools, is there are lots of disengaged youngsters at 13, 14 who are going to the low comprehensive and pretty fed up because they're not learning things that are practical. Now, this is the wonderful opportunity for them. The other thing that makes them different is that we get a university and an FE college to back each one. And that is important because it lifts the status immediately of the college, absolutely lifts it. And it's important for universities to be involved because I want them to engage with youngsters at 14 and 15 so that they experience some university teaching. I want university to mentor some of the pupils. I want the youngsters to be really turned on by the enthusiastic staff of universities so they can go on to do foundation degrees and higher degrees. I want them to lead them into a real career pattern. This is not just schools going to give one additional vocational skill like bricklaying to youngsters. It's much more than that. it's taking them through the possibility of setting up their own businesses, of going on to other parts of the built environment so that they can control big buildings, not just help to build them, all sorts of things.
It's part
like
of
that.
A cultural shift.
Yes, it is. It's a recognition that skills-based training is needed in our country. There's a massive shortage of technicians in our country. We can't build nuclear power stations. We can't build high-speed rail link. We can't build large wind turbine farms or great rays of solar power. We haven't got the technicians to do it.
Well, thank you for joining me today, Baron Baker. It's been great to hear your insights. Tell me, what life advice would you give your fellow graduates today?
It's a very exciting day for a graduate. This is the end of their 15 years formal education of learning and study and work. And another door opens up to them, work and opportunity, or more study. The first thing I'd say to them, don't think that your education has ended. They're going to have to retrain during their lives to update their skills. When I left university, we didn't have computers or mobile phones. Think of it. How did we manage to live? Television was quite a new art. And things change dramatically quickly, and things will change in their lifetimes. And so they're going to have to acquire a great deal of knowledge, a new knowledge, new experience, new techniques. And they'll probably also find that they have a wide variety of different jobs during their lives. It's unlikely that they will join one company and remain with it for the rest of their career. And so that means they've got to be adaptable. And so they've got to be flexible and adaptable. Those are the most important things for youngsters.
Thank you very much.